This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Anna Louise Inn opened its doors in 1909 with the goal of providing safe and affordable housing for single women. Last month, it moved from the Lytle Park building that had been its home for more than a century to a new site in Mount Auburn, the result of a legal battle with Western and Southern Financial Group. In its 106 years, the Inn has served thousands of women from a wide range of circumstances. In this month's Cincinnati Magazine, supporters, along with current and former residents, shared their stories about what the Inn has meant to them. Joining us to talk about the history of the Anna Louise Inn and its mission are Mary Carol Melton, Executive Vice President of Cincinnati Union Bethel, the Inn's parent organization, former Inn resident Sally Mullinger, and Cincinnati Magazine writer Lisa Murtha. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Sally, Lisa, and Mary Carol, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Mary Carol, the Inn started in 1909, but long before the Inn, there was Cincinnati Union Bethel. That started, what, 1830? Is that right?
1830, absolutely.
How did the organization get going?
It was originally started by a group of ministers in downtown Cincinnati, and the focus at the time was really to offer services in sort of spiritual guidance to boatmen on the river and their families. The lore is this was a pretty rough and tumble river town, and I think this group of ministers got together and said, maybe we should do something about this. And so that is how it started. But by the 1850s, the religious faith-based piece of the organization went back into the downtown churches, and what evolved was Cincinnati Union Bethel's focus on social services in the community.
But the name's interesting, though. Cincinnati, obviously, because of the location, but then Union Bethel, those have a particular meaning, don't they?
They do. And Bethel actually is floating chapel, and our first office was on a boat on the river that floated up and down the Ohio River. And then the union, I think, is really more for the union of cross-denominational ministers that came together.
So Cub is involved with the Anna Louise Inn, and it also founded the first free kindergarten, right?
It did. It founded the first free kindergarten. We actually founded the first free legal clinic, which is now morphed into the Legal Aid of Southwest Ohio, the first medical clinic, which is now part of the Cincinnati Health Department. So if you understand that we were really the very first agency in the area that was looking at what were the needs in the community, you'll see in our history that we continue to look for niches that aren't currently being met, and we try to meet them, and that's how the Anna Louise Inn was founded.
And so is the organization still involved in early childhood education?
We have a very large early childhood education program. We have four sites on the lower west side of Cincinnati in the areas or communities of Millvale, Camp Washington, College Hill, and Winton Terrace.
And you also run the Off the Streets program. What's that?
We do. The Off the Streets program is a program specifically designed for women who have found themselves in very challenging life circumstances, involved in prostitution, majority of them homeless, and often drug addiction as well. And this program was founded out of a community collaborative back in 2006 and is also housed at the Anna Louise Inn.
And how did the Inn itself get started? That's a pretty interesting story.
Well, again, I think that the need in the community was that we had women moving in from the rural areas primarily to work in downtown Cincinnati, and there really wasn't any safe housing. You know, many of the housing options were hotels or hotels above bars and saloons, and it just really wasn't a safe environment for women. So the powers that be at Cincinnati Union Bethel said, you know, maybe we could do something about this. And they then went to some of the prominent families in Cincinnati, including the Charles Taft family, and asked for some help. And they not only helped with the financing, but they actually built the inn in their front yard in Lytle Park.
And the inn was named after Anna Louise Taft.
Anna Louise was their daughter. And so it carries a very rich legacy and history. And if you look at the new inn, we still have the nameplate that says established in 1909, Anna Louise Inn.
Lisa, why did you want to tell the story about the Anna Louise Inn? What caught your attention?
Well, I think the story, the women who have lived there for so many years, I think there's been so much about the Anna Louise Inn in the media over the past several years. And one thing that kind of got lost in all of that were the people who actually lived there and who used it as a stepping stone in their lives to move from one point to another. And I was really drawn to all of the different kinds of women, and yet, and in very different circumstances, who all had several things in common.
Sally, how did you come to be a resident at the Inn? You're one of the women that Lisa writes about. How did you have your experience with the Inn?
Well, first of all, I have history, I guess you could say, with the entire area where Union Bethel originally began, which we always called the Bottoms, which is the Lytle Park area. My entire family was settled there when my grandparents emigrated from the country of Lebanon. As a matter of fact, our family was very much involved with the Union Bethel because my mom and all of my aunts were part of the women's club. My cousins, who were older than I was at the time, belonged to the teen canteen. And I was a member of something called the Itsy Bitsy Club, which I guess at the time, which was the early 50s, was probably the precursor to daycare or preschool type programs. So when I heard about the Anna Louise Inn, I was looking for a place to live downtown to get away from my mom, who was an alcoholic, and I was looking for some place where I could just kind of go between her house, actually my grandfather's house, because I had been living with him, and whether I was going to go to school or start on a career. And somebody told me about the Inn, and I went and took a look at it, and I fell in love because it was kind of like going home for me. I was born and raised right there. And so that made me feel comfortable. And the price was right. It was comfortable. It was clean. And it was, most importantly, for an 18-year-old, safe. It was very safe. So it was a perfect fit for me. And, you know, the experience, it's just been something that I'll never forget.
Now, what was life like living at the Inn?
Wow.
What are some of your memories?
if you know anything about a girls' college dormitory, there's your answer. It was fun. I mean, the rooms were very small, but, you know, you were there for such a short period of time that it didn't matter. And they were segregated somewhat by floors, and the floors were set up so that the older women didn't have a bunch of screaming young girls running around in their, you know, undress. But it was fun. I mean, you had your own room. You could decorate it the way you wanted to. There were four phones on each floor, and the system was set up with a switchboard-type operator down on the main floor. And if a call came through, she would ring that floor, and someone would answer one of those four phones and yell out your room number. And if you happened to be nearby or in the cafeteria, you got your call. Otherwise, the switchboard operator, who her name was Loretta, but we fondly called her Mom because that's just the way she treated all of us, she would take a message. And when you came in, you got your messages at the front desk. It was a great system. It was pre-technology, but it worked beautifully. You know, you weren't supposed to stand on the phone and hog the line forever, but nobody really did. And you got to remember, this was, you know, prior to cell phones, and no one had a private phone in the room, so you made it work. It was just a great time. It was a great transition place for people like me and a couple of my very good friends, who I have remained friends with over the years, who were transitioning from other things in their lives that, you know, didn't necessarily equate to buying a house or going into an apartment of their own. This was a great place. And remember, at the time, it was just safer downtown. So I walked to work every day up 4th Street, walked back home every evening. You could eat in the cafeteria at the Inn if you bought a meal ticket, which, if I'm not mistaken, back then, sit down on this one, was $15 a week. That sticks in my mind. And that included breakfast, lunch, and dinner if you wanted them. I mean, it was just an amazing value. And the food was good. It was excellent. It was cafeteria style. So if you wanted to have dinner after work, you could, or you could go out on the town like a lot of us did. We would walk back up to town, have dinner at one of the restaurants. Great memories. I lived there from 1969 into 1970. And at the time, and I know Lisa will remember that this was mentioned in the Cincinnati Magazine article, the laundry for the inn, for the women who lived at the inn, was up on the top floor.
I was going to tell you to tell that story.
Okay. I have to hear this now as you both said this.
Well,
I'll let Sally do it.
I just toned it down for the magazine article because it really was a little bit more racy than, you know, we were just waving. But they were building Riverfront Stadium that summer, and we would go up on the roof because you could go up there and kind of sit in the sun. And several of the girls would probably be dressed in something.
You weren't wolf whistling at the construction workers, were you?
Well, they started it.
It's always someone else's fault.
We volleyed it back. They volleyed it. It was just, I mean, nothing really ever amounted, you know, from it. But it was fun. And, you know, we got to watch the stadium go up, which,
yeah,
you know, that was pretty cool, too. I mean, it was a big deal for Cincinnati at the time. So,
yeah,
great times. I have fond memories of that whole era.
Well, Sally, I just can't tell you how much fun it is to listen to your story. I was not there in those days. But, and just, Lisa, the way you captured the stories of the women, I told Lisa prior to coming on the air, it just warmed my heart because, Sally, your story may have happened many, many years ago, but the decade that I have been with the Anna Louisiane, your story is a piece of every woman's story who has ever walked through the doors of the inn. They have found safety. They've found harmony. They've found a community of women. They have found fellowship and support. And, you know, and thank you again just for, you know, for sharing your life story, because we all have a piece of that, no matter what walk of life we're coming from, that we all have struggles in our lives. And the Anna Louisiane, I believe, has always been a beacon of hope for women. And as we embark in our new location, we are not forgetting that we have a 106-year legacy of doing just that. And I will tell you, for the nearly 85 women, I think we only have like one vacancy that is, I think, already being taken by next week. We are going to be completely full, and we've just opened the doors. So that is the good news. And it's also sort of the bad news, because it just indicates the need. And we are certainly not going to end the problem of providing that safe housing, but we certainly are part of the solution.
I liked what Mary Carroll said, just to echo. What was really neat about writing this piece was all of these women were interviewed by me separately. Two of them were together, Robin Stanley and Mary Catherine. But otherwise, they were all individual interviews done at separate times. And what was amazing to me was to see the similar themes that kept coming up in each woman's story. And yes, they all came from very different places, very different circumstances. And yet there was this need for many of them to escape something, to take some time to reflect about their lives and where maybe they had been, where they were heading. Laurie Lenoir White describes that really very well in the story. But how amazing to see that all tied together. And even in fun things like the story Sally told about being on the roof, Mary Farley White, who had been there much earlier, talks about you know, things happening up on the roof as well, and remembering Mrs. Sedgwick calling the news stations and saying, don't fly your helicopters over there. Girls sunbathing up there.
I love that story.
What was the most surprising thing that you...
Mrs. Sedgwick was wonderful. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Sally. What was the most surprising thing that you found out as you were writing this? Is there anything that stood out?
Surprising. I would say, you know, there were a lot of fun things that I found out. They were mostly surrounding the more social events, things that happened in the earlier era. I think because, again, those of us who are familiar with the inn today see it absolutely as a happy place, but as a place where there are a lot of women working through a lot of issues. And so I think one thing that was really kind of fun was to see the lighthearted side of it in the earlier days. You know, one of the gentlemen I interviewed talks about his mother, Bernice Young Pryor. Bernice Young, when she was dating her soon-to-be husband, would come in late after curfew and have to get boosted up the fire escape by her fiancé to creep in so she wouldn't get a demerit or throw a pebble at windows, you know. And Sally talks about, you know, not being able to have men on the floors So I think that for me was fun to see kind of that whole side of it, even when some of these women back then were escaping, you know, physical abuse, domestic situations with parents. They still had a lot of fun together.
And they found that they really found that fun in the camaraderie and in the community of women in a place that they really did feel safe. And I think that one of the stories that I remember one of our residents or two of our residents saying is that they used to knock on the wall between their rooms at night and just sort of do this da-da-da-da-da, and the other one would knock back. And that was to say good night and that we're here and we're safe. And that has really always struck me, that that really is what it's about. So as, again, we embark in our new location, what is not new and what has not changed is that we get to do that as well in an atmosphere where there's a little more self-dependence that, or independence rather, with private kitchens and your own bathroom, that these are really intended to improve the quality of life. You're still in a community, but you get to have a little more self-sufficiency.
Well, tell me a little bit more about how the new facility compares to the old one.
Well, as Sally aptly described, the very small rooms at the inn were originally built in what they used to call an SRO, the single room occupancy, sort of like an early YWCA, and with bathrooms at the end of the hallways. In those days, they did provide meals, but in the most recent 20, 25 years, there was just some cooking utensils down on the lower level, but there really wasn't any kitchen facility. So now the women, and the rooms were about 100 square feet. So now the apartments range from 450 to 550 square feet a fully equipped kitchen. God. I know, Sally, so you can imagine that
Sally,
this is, I know, would you like to come back? So, and they,
my husband might agree with that. Yeah.
No more lawn mowing,
but they have, you know, fully equipped kitchens, bedroom, fully furnished for them, bathrooms, and then they have resident lounges on each floor. We also offer a vending area and washers and dryers. Sally, it's not on the top floor anymore. It's on the third floor. And we also offer...
And there's no Riverfront Stadium either.
Right, exactly.
They've blocked all the windows.
No more fun.
Exactly. But we also offer services through our partner, Greater Cincinnati Behavioral Health. So they have an office in our building now because one of the ongoing missions is to really help women maintain safe housing. And often when barriers jump in front of you, if you don't have a resource to help you work through those, then you often find yourself in an economic situation, especially where you could lose housing. So what is also different today is that we do have subsidies that really help make the living experience continue to be affordable.
You had that legal battle with Western and Southern Financial Group over the old site. So I take it you're pleased, though, with, even though you had to go through that, things are working out well since then. I take it that that's the case.
Absolutely. The important thing is, you're right, Mark, the important thing for us was to always maintain our primary mission, and that was to be able to increase the availability of affordable housing for women, and we were able to do that.
Sally, what did you get out of your time at the inn? What things did you learn?
Oh, gee. Well, I mean, I was already pretty independent, but I think what it taught me is some self-reliance and definitely responsibility. I needed to find my way. I mean, that's what was so great about this place for everybody who came there. For whatever reason, as everybody's already said, there was a searching for something. And I mean, I'm sure that I could have found all that on my own in an apartment someplace, but I wasn't ready. I was scared to be on my own. I needed the safety net around me, which I guess is the best way to describe all those other women. And I also needed some authority figure. And that's what Ruth Sedgwick was. She ruled with an iron fist. I always think of her in the same vein as Margaret Thatcher, because Ruth Sedgwick was the kindest, nicest, sweetest woman you'd ever want to meet. But if you crossed her, you knew you crossed her, let me tell you. And I didn't see that personally for myself, but I saw it with a few other people who, you know, who pushed the rules. And it's nice to know, you know, 18, you're not exactly a worldly creature. So at 18, I still felt like I needed a mother figure somewhat. You know what I mean? And she provided that, and so did the other women who ran the inn on a daily basis. So, I mean, for me, it was a stepping stone. It was a chance to take my time and bridge that gap from the safety of my grandfather's home into real adulthood. And when I was ready to move, I was ready to move. But for that year and a half, it was perfect.
Sally, my favorite quote.
And I don't have any regrets. I'm sorry.
Lisa? Oh, that's okay. My favorite quote, Sally, was that you said, "I found out that I really mattered." I think that really speaks volumes. And again, that was a theme that still today, even with Terry from Off the Streets, is being echoed.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, Lisa,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, we just got a few seconds. Sally, go ahead and if you can wrap up quickly, go ahead and do it.
I was just going to say really quickly, most of these people who came, as everybody's already said, felt that they were coming there for an escape type thing. And yeah, you may need to feel that you matter. You know, that's a very important part of acknowledging your past and moving forward with your future, I think. So that's a good point.
Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Mary Carol Melton, Executive Vice President of Cincinnati Union Bethel, the Inn's parent organization, former Inn resident Sally Mullinger, and Cincinnati Magazine writer Lisa Murtha. You can find Lisa's article, Room at the Inn, on our website, a link to it at wvxu.org. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our program are available at wvxu.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Kevin Rawinski. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Science Friday next on 91.7 WVXU.